Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it off.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper!
You have reported to duty to the number one sports talk show in the world, all over between the hours of 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Eastern. Thanks so much for listening to us on, you know, our local affiliates, Indiana Talks, and you're listening to us live here on Blog Talk Radio, our facilitator. You know, wherever you're at right now and you're listening to the Balance, you are now officially sworn in as a minion. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. I am your leader and fearless leader for the next 2 hours. I will guide you into the battle of sports over the last week. We will break it down. We will talk about it. We will regurgitate it, chew it up, and talk about it again. And today, you know, it's just going to be one of those shows where we've just got a great lineup for you. We're excited to have Roger Curtis, president of Michigan International Speedway, good friend of the show, been on a few times with us, and he's going to be talking about the big race coming up at Father's Day. Of course, their big race out there with the NASCAR boys coming up soon. So we'll be talking about that. Of course, IndyCar out in Texas, Will Power gets the pole. And so that's going to be on this afternoon. This evening, underneath the lights, going to be also talking to Walt Ferber from WITZ down in Jasper. We're talking about some of these Indiana boys that made it to the MLB. That's right. We're Indiana College boys, we will say. So we'll talk about that and some top high school prospects. Going to be looking at some high school baseball prospects as well, because it's that time of year. We talk about baseball. Of course, we talk a lot about it over on the Hot Corner every Thursday night. So you want to make sure you catch that here between 7 and 8 right here on the Balance Radio Network. And then a little bit later on in the second half of the show, Ed Kratz of Calkins Media beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, going to be talking with us, some NFL, some OTAs with the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going to throw some curveballs to him, no pun intended, about some of their draft picks in the MLB. So, as you can see, that's why I'm your leader. I'm bringing you into a world of sports and bringing it to you from an angle that only I can do here on The Balance. So you know what? We're looking forward to a great show. Write down these digits, 917-889-8516. Our social media, you can follow us, stalk us there on social media at TBalance, at ProIndy, at IndianMay.com. Well, we've got a great show in store. Minions, stay put. Battle's about to begin.
Out to me, all I want is victory. Every second flashes on my brain. Adrenaline is turning red. The power's going to my head. Cannot sustain it burning in my...
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full-service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Why would these rivals risk everything? Each is driven to be the one. IndyCar. The one to win the heart of racing. IndyCar welcomes Verizon to the heart of racing and is proud to announce the Verizon IndyCar Series.
See, I'm not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports. March, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Saul Mark with El Presidente. Great show for you today. We're going to be standing by here, hopefully here around 9:15 or so. We're going to be joined by Roger Curtis, good friend of the show, going to be talking about Michigan International Speedway, what's going on up there in Father's Day, and the big NASCAR race that they have every year. I tell you what, I've had the very awesome privilege of being up there at the Michigan International Speedway for a NASCAR race, and it is thrilling nonetheless. And I tell you what, it's a top-notch facility, so I enjoy, you know, I always say this on the show when Roger's with us, but it is true. Outside of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway here in Indianapolis, which is where we flagship from, Michigan International Speedway is my favorite venue for racing. It's a fast track, it's an oval track, and it is just some good racing. And I tell you what, you're going to see some really fast speeds. You know, I won't say that it as fast as what you would see with IndyCar, but I could tell you what, you're going to see way up in the 200s with NASCAR at Michigan International Speedway. So we're excited to have Roger Curtis on here, and so he'll be on with us here in just a few minutes. I think maybe possibly that redneck from Philly is going to be joining us, but we're going to officially probably sad sack him because you never know if he's going to show, if he's not going to show, right? While the boys are down there in Texas, Will Power earns his second consecutive P1 award out at the Texas Motor Speedway with a two-lap average speed of 218.896 for the Firestone 600. Joseph Newgarden, hitting the front row, qualifies for a career-best second. And so I tell you what, this is a high bank oval down there in Texas. And, you know, as they always say in Texas, they do it big. And speaking of, oh, man, you were officially sad sacked, but welcome to The Balance. The redneck from Philly, Mr. Kevin Chapman, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good.
Man, you know what? Hey, I'm going to say, you showed me up. I thought you weren't going to come. I said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go ahead and officially sad sack that redneck from Philly because I'm not sure that he's going to show up, but you know what? He's here, you're here, and we're here. So Kevin Chapman, my co-pilot for the next couple hours, and we're going to be breaking down some sports. And, you know, I'm hoping that also we were told we were told that Courtney Force would be on. You see what we do here, Kevin, is we book the guests, and whether or not they show up or not. Unlike the Minions, they don't have standing marching orders to be here. So, you know, we gotta go with it. But nonetheless, I know you're a NASCAR guy, so here in just a few minutes we are going to have Roger Curtis, president of the Michigan International Speedway, on, and we're going to be talking about the big race coming up in Michigan. So how was your week, sir?
It was good. Busy, but good.
Busy, but good. Busy keeps you out of trouble, as they say. What's the old saying? Devil hands for idle. I don't know. One of those things. So I'll tell you what. You know what? We do have a little bit of time here, and then it'll just be kind of a good segue into the. Of course, we were just talking a little bit about IndyCar, and they're down in Texas, and certainly going to be a big race tonight. But also, you know, we've kind of neglected and unintentionally made NASCAR our. Redheaded stepchild during the month of May. That's just kind of what happens. And so, but of course, they're down in Pocono, one of the great races in NASCAR for the Pocono 400 this weekend. So talk with us a little bit about that, Kevin. That's your sport. Preview us the Pocono 400 down in Pocono.
Well, I mean, right now the big question is Jimmy going to go for three in a row? He is defending race champion there. And right now everybody was kind of laying back. Jimmy didn't have any wins, and now he's just got two back-to-back, and he's going to a track that he's defending champion on. So, and he's locked in the chase, so he has nothing to lose but go for a win. So that's the question right now is who's going to be the first one to take a win away from Jimmy Johnson?
Well, I tell you one thing, Stewart Haas Racing's Kevin Harvick in the number four car has put up some good speed. His best speeds down there in Pocono this week has been and I think that they're doing some qualifying now. I'm not exactly sure about that, but his best speed is 177.281. And then you look at BK in the number two car in the number two position, ironically enough. And, of course, Brian Vickers, I want to talk with you a little bit about the number 55 car. He's averaging 0.85. Brian Vickers, certainly one of those drivers who have been underneath the radar, yet earning some points this season. Talk with us about the number 55 car.
Well, Brian Vickers has always been a good driver. He, unfortunately, has not had the rides. He's bounced around a little bit. He's always been a good driver. He's actually he's finally got a team behind him that's giving him a fighting chance, to say the lack of better terms. But you're right about the deuce also. Because Rossi's been really well. Harvick has overall probably been one of the fastest cars every single race. But just for whatever reasons, has not been able to get that win. So,
well,
yeah,
I know.
Harvick will be a threat.
Right, absolutely, and what I mean by him being underneath the radar, getting points, he's leading. I mean, he's in the lap count to get the points. He just hadn't got that win. Of course, from over at Roush Fenway Racing, Carl Edwards, always a big challenge. I'm interested to see how Tony Stewart's going to do here at Pocono. Obviously, coming back and still recovering from that broken leg, I would think that even though he's been through a lot of therapy and stuff, a track like Pocono where there's a lot of braking, a lot of, you know, it's a smaller track. He may have more issues that. So Tony Stewart smoked the number 14 car. What's going on with him? His average speed right now down there in Pocono, 176.571.
I'm looking up points right now, and the other one that you got to look at too that's solid, and is you got Matt Kenseth, which is actually a points leader.
Mm-hmm.
He was Gordon until last week, and now Ken's got like a 2-point lead in this game.
Right, and I tell you what, Talk with us a little bit, Kevin. We're standing by the way, for Roger Curtis, president of the Michigan International Speedway. Hopefully we'll have him on here in just a moment. But go ahead and talk with us a little bit about the point systems with NASCAR. How's that different than IndyCar point system, and how does the point systems come together for NASCAR? Real quick, NASCAR 101, certainly they're down at Pocono, like you said, Matt Kenseth, and then Jeff Gordon, Carl Edwards, Jimmy Johnson, and Dale Jr. And I've said this since the beginning of the season, Dale Jr. has a very legitimate shot at winning the championship this year.
Well, he does. And ever since he's come over to Hendrick's Motorsport, every year his performance has gotten more consistent, which has been leading him to having a higher chances to have a shot at the championship. But the point system in NASCAR, they get it based on their position on the track, as well as if they lead the most laps, they get bonus points, and they get bonus points for just leading a lap in general. This year's chase is different, though. It's more of a
Kevin, I hate to interrupt you. I think we do have Roger Curtis now on the line with us. Roger, are you with us?
Yeah, I am. How are you this morning?
Hey, buddy. Roger Curtis, president of the Michigan International Speedway, and by day and Elvis by night. How you doing, sir?
I just picked that suit up from the dry cleaners, by the way.
Well, there we go. Well, you know, we're excited to have you on the show. Obviously, you've been on a few times here with us, and we love having you on. You got a big race coming up here. Certainly your biggest race and biggest moneymaker of the year coming up here. Is it on Father's Day this year again? And that's the big NASCAR race down there at Michigan International Speedway?
Yeah, Quicken Loans 400 is next Sunday on the 15th, so a great way to celebrate Father's Day. It's every once in a blue moon we end up, depending on how the calendar falls, not on a Father's Day, but traditionally it is a Father's Day. So great way to celebrate.
Well, I tell you what, it is it's not that far from Indianapolis for our listeners here in Indianapolis, and certainly around the Michigan area. And I'm not just saying this outside of the Indianapolis International IMS, Michigan International Speedway is top notch in my opinion, probably one of the fastest tracks around, and it would be, in my opinion, would be awesome if you and IndyCar could ever get something worked out there. But talk with us about this big race. You know you have one of the fastest tracks in NASCAR, but until you're there and you feel and see how fast the cars at Michigan International Raceway go, it is incredible.
It really is. And, you know, I noticed that, you know, we'll watch the ARCA race on Friday and then the Cup guys come out and you physically can see it. It's truly an amazing transition from the trucks or Nationwide ARCA to these Cup guys. And especially this year, and I've only seen the tire test with the downforce that NASCAR has added. I've talked to all the drivers who were up here a couple months ago, and then Joey Logano was up here doing some promotional stuff last week for us. And the track record right now is in the high 203s, which is the fastest in NASCAR. And top speeds are about 225 going into turn one, which for a 3,500-pound car is just unbelievable to me that they're doing this. And Joey and all the other guys thought for sure that a track record is going to fall Friday in qualifying, especially with the knockout format. I'm sure a couple guys are going to go out together, and it's not a draft like you would get in Daytona and Talladega, but you're going fast enough down the back straightaway, you might get a little bit of a pull. So I'm excited to see this new qualifying format. I'm sure the speeds are going to stay right up there, if not a new record.
Also joining us is my partner in crime for the next couple hours, that redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman, a big NASCAR guy himself. And it is true, Roger, you can be a redneck and be from Philly. I didn't believe it at all, but trust me, this tall drink of water walks around with a cowboy hat, cowboy boots. It is for real. So, Kevin, go ahead. You got something for Roger?
Well, no, I was going to ask Roger just what he brought up with the new qualifying that we have in NASCAR, what he thought as far as speeds, and if he agreed with me that there could be a really good chance for a new track record. With, and like you said, we're not going to have the draft like at Talladega or anything, but I was thinking about that the other day, and I think you will have a new record up there in Michigan this year.
I don't know how it can't unless Goodyear brings back just a rock hard tire, which I know during the tire test they brought about five different compounds, and there was one they went out on, and Clem Boyer came right back in, and he said, no way, no way. Any of the fans that were down in turn one, of which we opened the stands and let them watch the practice, he's like, they got to show, because all they saw were the whites of my eyes when I went into turn one with those, with that compound. So that one was a little too soft. They wouldn't even tell me what they were doing on that lap, but I don't think they'll bring that one back. But I don't see how they can't break a record. And, you know, the great thing, talking to all the drivers, this is what's awesome. 200 seems to be a magical number. I remember at Indianapolis when they broke the 200-mile barrier, and, it, you know, it really gets people's attention. It's sexy. It's exciting, the 200, but you know, once qualifying's over and you stop talking about the speed, it's about the race and passing the number of leaders. And since we repaved, we've not only been fast, but we've had some really good racing. And the guys told me that the track weathered really good during the winter with the hard winter we had. And they're very optimistic that we're going to have at least three lanes this year. We had two last year. And I think we're going to see a very competitive and fast race. So that's the best of both worlds.
Well, certainly go ahead, Kevin. Go right ahead.
I was going to say that the one nice thing about the Michigan track is it's not – there are multiple lanes. So you're going to have some passing in spots that at other tracks you don't. So that is one of the good things about your track compared to some of the others.
Yeah, it is. And it's nice and wide. Not quite as wide as California. Not as bumpy yet either, which I know the drivers like that character. But it certainly is getting the character. And I can tell it's several shades grayer than it was last year, even after this past winter, which will bode well for laying down some rubber and creating multiple lanes. But, you know, the other thing I love about MIS, and it's kind of the same with all the campers that come down there to Indy too, it's so much more than a race. You know, it's truly an event. It's an experience now. It's a party. It's the race just seems to be kind of, it's like a music festival, and, you know, your headliner, Luke Bryan, is the race anymore. So I love that about this track, and it's so much more than the race. I mean, obviously everyone's coming out to see the stars of NASCAR, but and that's cool. I love campers have already started showing up. I saw my first two last night, pulled in already and stopped to say hello, and they'll be coming in all week long, and it's just going to be a great time.
Now, if my memory serves me right, did Greg Biffle win last year up there in Michigan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Biffle won the Quicken Loans in June. Yep.
Well, I tell you what, how exciting would it be for Ryan Newman to be in a new car? Obviously, that's his home. We call it his home track, and certainly he drives one of the Quicken Loans cars. So talk with us a little bit about the relationship with you, Ryan Newman, and Quicken Loans.
Well, it's a great one, and I feel really good for Ryan. You know, he obviously mentally was not in a good situation for whatever reason over at Stuart Haas Racing, and it seems like he's really blossomed now that he's gone over to Childress, and that's a great organization. And I know we've got such a great relationship with Quicken Loans, headquartered there in downtown Detroit, and our relationship with them, and then obviously the synergies with Ryan. And he's a lot like us. You know, he's all about the outdoors, and he's from Indiana like me, and he considers Michigan a second home like me. So we have a lot in common. Would love to see him do well. Win the race, obviously, would be fantastic, especially with Quicken Loans. So hopefully he'll have a good day and a good rest of the year, too. He's a good guy, and I hope the best for him this year.
Well, absolutely, and he seems to be doing he's certainly up there in the top 10 in practice down there in Pocono. Now, you know, I want to pick your brain, and I know I ask you this every single time you're on, but it's just such a perfect fit for you, and we saw how well that last week, how well IndyCar was accepted there in the Detroit market. Is it too much of a stretch to run both Detroit Belle Isle and Michigan International Raceway with IndyCar?
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, you know, they used to in the golden age, if you will, as I like to call it, when, you know, they had a race at Michigan and down on down through the streets of Detroit as well. So I don't see that as a problem, especially, I mean, honestly, I mean, if I were to get a crystal ball out and work with the folks from IndyCar, I mean, ideally for us, we'd probably have like September date. So that distance between us and Belle Isle certainly I don't think would be a problem at all. And it's two very, very different experiences, as you know. I mean, it's a beautiful park but it's still a road course versus, man, it's just like a slot car track at our place. It's crazy.
Well, I tell you what, as fast as your track is and as close as it is to Indianapolis, and, you know, now with us here in Indianapolis having the Indianapolis, the Grand Prix of Indianapolis, I just think that road course in Oval Worlds can begin a marriage. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's what used to be so great about it, too, in all the incarnations, whether it was USAC or CART or, you know, whatever the names were. That was the great thing, is you felt like you were really crowning a champion who was the best all-around driver, because there was a good number of ovals of different sizes. There was a good number of road courses. There were a few street courses thrown in. I love Formula One, too, but it's all road courses. And NASCAR, other than a couple of road courses, you know, certainly all ovals. And so it was nice in the days when open wheel had a really nice grouping of a little bit of every. You had a potpourri of everything. And you knew that whoever won that championship, that was a damn good driver.
Now, Kevin, go right ahead. We got we're talking with Roger Curtis, president of Michigan International Speedway. Certainly, next week the big race up there at Michigan International Raceway, top notch facility. I tell you what, it is so close and easy drive, and they've got it all. They've got camping, they've got partying, they've got hotels, they've got the best track, the fastest oval track. So certainly, the Quicken Loans 400 coming up next weekend. We're talking to Roger Curtis about that. Kevin, go ahead.
Well, no, I just want to say, well, one, first off, thank him for coming on, as he has been a regular guest, and definitely a beautiful track. And you mentioned one of the things that I've noticed that from what it looks like watching, it looks like it's getting bigger. You were camping and so forth. Has that grown for over the years as far as the people coming out and enjoying it? Like in Indianapolis, we have the Coke Lot where everybody comes out for the week. Has that been growing there in Michigan?
Yeah, you know, we're like everybody else in any business. You know, the late 2000s were pretty tough on us in motorsports, especially here. I mean, we were kind of at the epicenter of the recession with the automobile industry, and so we dropped down a little bit. But camping has climbed back up. We'll have about close to 8,000 campers here this weekend, 9 different campgrounds, all very, very different. We've got everything from a truly family campground with, you know, volleyball and a pit and playground area and hiking trails, fishing pond to, you know, our infield is like a Mardi Gras in New Orleans or something like that. It's crazy, but it's really cool because we've got a little quiz on our website. You can go on and if you click on camping, it'll ask you kind of like what you're looking to do, what kind of experience you're looking for, who you're coming with, and it'll help guide you to the right campground. So I've been real happy. We've seen camping kind of rebound real well the last couple of years, and I think we'll be at least flat with last year, if not a little bit up around, you know, 8,000 campers. So should be a great weekend, and I just to tell you, I love the smell of campfires, and I know those will be firing up here in a couple of days.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
and I guess, go ahead, Kevin.
Tom, we have to do that. We'll have to get tickets and end up. We'll have to go camping one weekend.
Hey, I'm all about Michigan International Speedway. You don't have to ask me twice. I will definitely be there. I'm not going to be able to be there next week, but I definitely cannot wait to go back. And I got just one more question here for you, Roger. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today. President of Michigan International Speedway, Roger Curtis, and a Hoosier, but we won't hold it against him that he is a Purdue grad. So he went to that other school in Indiana. You know, as a fan, I really like Joey Logano. I hear he was in Detroit, and I hear that if he doesn't make it in NASCAR, that maybe the Detroit Lions might be looking at him.
Yeah, Joey and I both, we were on the Lions practice field last week, and I tell you, these guys are huge. You know, you look at hash mark there, and you're like, oh, man, what do you mean? It takes them 4 tries to go 10 yards. This is nothing. And then they come out on the field, and you're like, oh, man. So I think Joey and I are going to stick to trying our hand at field goal kicking. That's probably the best we can do.
I tell you what, I had an opportunity to hang out on the red carpet there at Indianapolis Motor Speedway during the 500. And of course, you know, got to talk to a lot of people. But Dwayne Allen of the Indianapolis Colts came by and he talked with us a little bit. And I tell you what. I had to use two hands to shake his hands. I'm not kidding you. And I still couldn't even squeeze. You know, squeeze a little bit hard. Unbelievable. These guys are tanks. And I can only imagine. And I've met Joey before and talked with him. And he's not really a girly guy, but he's a small guy. We'll just put it that way. So I would have loved to seen him up against standing there next to Reggie Bush, whatever. I know Reggie Bush is a big race fan as well. So will there be a Bush sighting, if you will, at Michigan International Raceway next week?
Well, you know, I think a lot of them are, as are our hockey team here, the Detroit Red Wings. It's amazing the crossover between hockey and NASCAR fans, and we've just got a ton of them that I think will be out here this week, and we've got a lot of stars will be out, just like we're down there for the Indy 500, so it's going to be a great festival, great experience, great opportunity to come up if folks... Like you mentioned, it's a real short drive. I get down to Indy quite a bit. It's real easy to jump on 69 there through Fort Wayne and hop off on 12 and come over. And even if it's for the day and you just want to come tailgate, but obviously if you want to camp, there's still great tickets. Lots of campsites available at mispeedway.com. And you can call 800-354-1010. And, hey, if it's too late, you can't make it up for Father's Day. NASCAR will be back for the Pure Michigan 400 on August the 17th, so you could always put that on your calendar now, too.
Well, Roger Curtis joining us today, and I love your track, and I'm going to tell you the same thing that I told Doug Bowles here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You have the best job in the world. You are the president of the fastest track in the world for IndyCar, and Roger, you have the best job in the world. You are the president of the fastest track in NASCAR. It's awesome to talk to both of you. You guys both rock. Roger, where can people find you, stalk you, see your Elvis impersonations?
Oh, yeah. We'll be out Friday night dressed as Elvis, goofing off. You know, that's what it's about, creating memories. You know, people choose to give us their time and money, and that's a big deal to me, and so I want to make sure they have a good time. So we have fun. So you can find me at MISRoger on Twitter. I'll be posting some photos all weekend long.
I cannot wait to see them. Roger, you have a good race next week, and I look forward to at least watching it from the comforts of my own home.
Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
All right, buddy. We'll see you. Have a good weekend. Roger Curtis, president of Michigan International Speedway. I always am thrilled to have him on here, and he is so personable, and trust me, when I say this, he is out amongst the fans, and he really does. He dresses up like Elvis, and he goes out amongst the fans and has a great time. My name's Tom Mark with El Presidente. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Myself and Redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman, and Walt Ferber from WITZ down in Jasper, going to be talking about some of those big prospects hitting the MLB this week from Indiana, believe it or not. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Burn like gasoline. I took whistle down, spun Indy round, and everywhere in between. I'm a hot rod, love it, nitro, chugging, firecracker, ready to go.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full-service kitchen with a delicious, delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Welcomes Verizon to the heart of racing and is proud to announce the Verizon IndyCar Series.
I've got a treat for you, a sneak preview of the new three-act Broadway musical being written and directed by Yankee slugger Alex Rodriguez.
If it's baseball.
If it's baseball.
Tom Marcus is talking about it on The Balance.
All right, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. So good to have you along on Saturday morning. What a good conversation that was with President of Michigan International Speedway, Roger Curtis. Kevin, are you with us?
I'm with you.
All right, Kevin Chapman, that redneck from Philly. We're standing by for Walt Ferber of WITZ and Jasper. Going to be calling us, going to be talking about some of those big prospects coming out of Indiana, both from IU and University of Evansville, taking in the top 10. And in my recent memory, Kevin, I don't know. I'm going to have to check the stats on this, but I don't think this has happened in any recent memory where two kids from Indiana schools were taken in the top 10 in the first round of the MLB. So really, really excited to talk to Walt about that, certainly. And also, we're going to talk with Walt about some of the young high school prospects that we're looking at, you know, for maybe next year's draft as well. So we'll get into that, but let's go ahead and we'll stand by for him, and let's continue our conversation here with NASCAR and the Pocono 400 down there in Pocono, in which, by the way, what a beautiful track that is. You talk about some nice tracks. I've not had an opportunity to go there, but certainly it is a beautiful track in the mountains down there in Pennsylvania, and I love the scenery around that, especially when they're in their actual race itself, and it's kind of cool when you look at the cams and stuff that they got at the track in the mornings and stuff and see the fog on the mountains there. But Pocono Raceway, it's kind of a different shape. I don't want to call it a triangle shape, but it is one of those courses that have a different feel to it. Kevin, so talk with us about Pocono, the history of Pocono. To NASCAR, Pocono is to IndyCar in the Indianapolis 500, maybe not as big of a race, but with tradition, with NASCAR comes Pocono.
Well, it does, and it all. I think part of the reason Pocono is such a draw when it comes to NASCAR is because it is a different style track.
Kevin, you know, here's the deal. I figured it out. When we want our guests to call, I just have you start talking because then they just call. So
there you go.
on the line with us now, though. I'm kidding. Now, Walt Ferber of WITZ down in Jasper. We'll certainly get back to our NASCAR conversation. We just have President of Michigan International Raceway on with us. And welcome to talk with us about the Pocono – I mean, not the Pocono 400, the Quicken Loans. We were at Pocono this week, right? So, but I wanted to have Walt on because he's the foremost expert on young baseball players, especially coming out of Indiana and the prospects, the high school prospects. And you know, we always have our hot corner every Thursday night where we talk baseball, we talk MLB. But I wanted to take some time because we had draft day on Thursday and two very big. Picks really, and really the biggest being from the Chicago Cubs, coming to the duel of the Kyles. But joining us now is Walt Ferber from WITZ in Jasper. Walt, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Good morning.
Good morning to you, sir. It's been a while since you've been on the show. Welcome back. Let's first of all, and we'll get into the picks from Indiana schools going to the Cubs and going to the Rockies. But talk to me a little bit about what you thought about this year's MLB draft.
Well, you know, it's interesting every year. You know, when you compare it to the National Football League draft and the NBA draft, you know, it's not as much pomp and circumstances, and you know, guys are finding out while they're playing in the World College World Series and such. So it's you know, it's something. It's a lot of fun, and we're getting more and more I think top prospects from the state of Indiana and from the Midwest. And you know, a couple of Kyles this time around that are about as good as it gets as far as being major league prospects.
Yeah, and certainly let's get into that conversation. Kyle Schrober, what a great player. 6 foot, 235 pounds. Certainly took the IU to their first the College World Series in many, many years. Talk with us a little bit about what you know about Kyle Schrober and his fit with the Chicago Cubs.
Well, I tell you what, Kyle, it just goes to show that a lot of times you don't know how things are going to pan out. Coming out of high school, this guy was almost totally unknown and wasn't being recruited very much. And Schwarber's high school coach asked Coach Tracy Smith, whose wife was from the same hometown, to look at the catcher. I mean, there wasn't anybody looking at this guy at all. He goes to Indiana University, becomes a big star, hits over 340 last year to lead Indiana University there. And he is really he's really considered one of the top prospects. Peter Gammons calls him the most advanced hitter in this year's draft. So Schwarber may be one of those guys the longtime hurting Cub fans are looking for. And the thing about Schwarber is he's a really, really good kid. He had a hard time deciding, actually as high up as he was going to be, had a hard time deciding whether he was going to come back for his senior year at IU. So Schwarber is going to be a guy that will be, I think, a possible impact player for the Cubs. And since he's 22 years old coming out of college, he's going to be a lot more polished than a kid they would get right out of high school. So he could be impacting and playing in Wrigley in the not-too-distant future.
I could not agree with you more. I was having this conversation with some other people this week about that very conversation. A lot of times, you know, when you see these rookies drafted, they'll play a couple years and then maybe work their way through the AAA. I agree with you, Walt. I think we're going to see Kyle in up there at Wrigley very, very, very soon. And I like that. I'm a diehard Cardinal fan, so I can't root for the Cubs, but I'm rooting for Kyle to do well with the Cubs. And for the record, for those that want to know, yes, we are on it, and we hope to have him either on the hot corner or on the balance in the very near future. Also joining us with me is my partner in crime for the rest of this show is that redneck from Philly. And it is true, Walt, like I just told Roger Curtis, president of Michigan International Speedway, there can be rednecks from Philly. Kevin, and I say that, Walt, because Kevin is obviously a diehard Philly fan, and certainly looking at the prospects and how it affects his team. But Kevin, I know we like to look at these young prospects and look at who gets drafted, and I'm glad to see Carlos Robert from IU get drafted into the MLB to the Chicago Cubs. But Kevin, any thoughts for Walt on young prospects or anything that questions you may have regarding the MLB?
Well, looking at just the top 10, I guess it shouldn't be a surprise, but 6 out of 10 were all pitchers. But I was going to ask him on Kyle, if he agrees that, you know, most players, like you just said, they've got to go through the ranks, work their way up. I do not see Kyle lasting very long in the minor league system. The Cubs not only just need a good ball player, but they need that guy that's going to, for lack of better terms, light the fans up a little bit and give them a reason to be a Cubs fan again. And with what you were just saying about him being the type of kid he is, I think he has the personality and the demeanor to be that guy that can give Cub fans reason to be excited again.
Go ahead, Walt. Are you there?
Yeah, okay. I would agree with that. And I was just looking at Mike Gammon's comment here. He said he's got the most advanced approach at the plate. According to Peter Gammon, who's a pretty, you know, kind of a solid expert there, said he thinks he's the best hitter in the draft. And his frame, 6 feet, 240 pounds, he's already major league size. I think he could really excite people. And like I said, it just goes to show you that, as I said earlier, kids mature at different levels. This kid coming out of high school, nobody knew who he was from Adam. So it goes to show sometimes you don't always know. And it also goes, I'm always a big fan of busting your can, hard work and dedication. And this young man had some tools, but really worked his tail off with Coach Smith at IU to be the best possible player. And, you know, his role model's a pretty good role model. I'm a Reds fan from way back. His role model's Johnny Bench. And
yeah.
Schwarber was a Reds fan growing up, being from the Ohio area he was from. So even though he was a Reds fan, he is quite ecstatic to be a Chicago Cub now.
Well, let me ask you this.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know, baseball is one of those sports that probably have a higher recruiting out of high school than any other sport out there. And obviously I think some of it has to do with size. You can get away coming in baseball a little bit smaller than you could football or basketball from high school. But, what's your feelings on a kid coming out, for example, the number one or number two pick in baseball coming straight from high school compared to those coming out of college into the baseball?
Yeah, I think that's a very, very good question. I can relate this a little bit to football because my son was recruited out of high school playing football. They look at tape and stuff, but no matter what sport it is, they want to know what your size and weight and your 40 times are, and the certain intangibles that go with every sport. And that's with baseball. They want to know how big you are, how fast you are. They want to know arm strength, how hard you can throw. And a lot of this stuff is more important, I think, sometimes than what they see on the field. And I've always been a big fan of the intangibles. I mean, some kids are just flat out winners. They may not have the frame, the size and such, but they end up figuring out a way to win. In my estimation, I think all the sports have gone a little bit too much to the basic batteries of height, weight, quickness and such, and go a little bit away from the heart. I've always thought that that somebody a little smaller, a little slower, but with more drive would be the guy with a little more talent every time.
We're talking with Walt Ferber from WITZ in Jasper, and certainly, in my opinion, one of the foremost authorities, at least in the state of Indiana, for young prospects in high, certainly follows their career in high school baseball and certainly does a lot of high school baseball play-by-play. So nobody better to talk to about these young prospects than Walt Ferber. Let's talk about the other Kyle. Kyle Freeland went to the Colorado Rockies from the University of Evansville. I think a lot of people thought he would go with the Phillies. Of course, a lot of people thought Schrauber would go with the Tigers. So talk with us about the fit about Kyle Freeland from the University of Evansville going to the Colorado Rockies.
Well, I tell you what, that young man is excited, definitely excited. He is from Denver, Colorado, and to him this is a case of going home. So he is going to a place that he wanted to go more than any place else. So with Freeland, I think he's probably as happy. Matter of fact, I know he's as happy as a clam about being able to go back home. And pardon me, he has been an impact player at the University of Evansville. He led them to a Missouri Valley Conference championship this year. He is the highest draft pick out of the University of Evansville since a guy by the name of Andy Bettis. I know you're a Cardinals fan, so he was the number one overall pick in 1988, and Freeland the number eight overall this year. He was the Missouri Valley Conference Pitcher of the Year, a solid 10-2 record with a 1.90 earned run average, and he was among the top five of Division I's in strikeouts with 128 and strikeouts per nine innings. This guy averaged over a strikeout an inning, 11.5 strikeouts per game, and his strikeout-to-walk ratio was 10-1. So this kid can strike people out. He's got pinpoint control. He's an intelligent young man, and the Rockies have a good one, and they're going to have a good one because even with the humidors and stuff they have out there in Colorado, that is not exactly a pitcher's ballpark.
Well, let's look at about some of the other young, and I want you to just kind of talk with us about who we should be keeping our eye out for the 2015 season and some of the top prospects that you're looking at in coming out of Indiana to go into the MLB and go up to that next level. Is there anybody that you got your radar on for next year?
Well, I tell you what, there's a guy, and I'm getting ready to head over to Rexor Field to call the 3A Regional. Southridge against Silver Creek today, and Southridge has gone 32 years without a sectional championship, and they've done it behind a couple of excellent pitchers. They've got a young man by the name of Jacob Brewer that has one of the best curveballs I've ever seen at the high school rank, and he two-hit Jasper last week in the sectional over at League Stadium in Huntingburg. So Brewer is a kid to look out on, and they've got another lefty on that staff whose name is Luke Stetter. Now, that last name might sound familiar. His older brother, Mitch Stetter, was a pitcher for about 5 years with the Milwaukee Brewers, California Angels, and Texas Rangers. And Luke has as good of a curveball as his big brother Mitch had. So those are two guys that I'm going to see today that I think are going to have an excellent opportunity and maybe the possibility of being drafted directly out of high school.
Well, we talk about young kids, and I tell you what, there must be something in the water down there for Homestead High School. We look at a young kid who's going to be graduating in just a couple years, Brady Sheehan, and I think that this kid has a lot of potential. And certainly, we look at former Homestead Spartans that did well in the MLB and was able to make a career out of it. Rob Bowen, who obviously lives out in San Diego now, and Justin Sheffield. So we look at Brady Sheehan, obviously right-handed hitter, catcher, I believe, from Homestead High School. Excellent, excellent, excellent player, and is really positioned himself. If he could stay in shape and do well over the next couple of years, we could see him be one of those first-round picks, in my opinion, very early.
Oh, I would agree with that, and I think you'll find that there are pockets here in the state of Indiana. Well, you're going to have good prospects year in and year out, Andrean is also a place up in the northern part of the state that kicks out good people year after year after year. Jasper down here in the southern part of the state, 5 state championships. They've got a kid, Cal Kruger, that as a sophomore was listed in the top 5 recruits in the nation. So that's a kid that people are keeping an eye on. He's already got an offer from Wichita State. So Indiana, I think, is kind of underrated. It is kind of a baseball hotbed, and especially in certain pockets of the state. You really have some very, very fine, very, very fine baseball played.
We're talking with Walt Ferber from WITZ in Jasper. Walt, I'll give you one more question because I know you have a game to call, and I told you I would keep you to your word. I would keep to my word, and I would keep the time small for you because I know you got to go. Another guy I want to talk with you about is certainly no stranger to baseball, from Evansville, Don Mattingly, out there with the L.A. Dodgers. Again, getting his mouth before his brain, I think, and he says things sometimes that just absolutely amaze me, and I talked about this on the Hot Corner. For those that don't know, basically Don Mattingly, for all intents and purposes, and I am paraphrasing when I say this, but he says, you know what, we suck. We're just not that good. When a manager says that about their team, I got to step back and I got to say, Don, why do you open your mouth?
Well, I tell you what, and I know Don. I've got a chance to meet him and talk with him on a regular basis when his sons played at Evansville Central, and he came down to watch them. I got a chance to know him a little bit. He is old school. And it's one of those things is he loves baseball. He is one of those guys that went out, and he was a good prospect, but he made himself into a great Major League Baseball player. And I think what bothers Don more than anything else is maybe the new athlete. Sometimes I have a tendency maybe not to adjust to the new X generation people, but he's got guys like Puig that kind of do what they want to do. They come from a different background, and I think more than anything else, the thing that bothers Mattingly is not that they're not producing, because you know it's his job to make them produce. But I think he, when he played for the Yankees, when he played at Evansville Memorial High School back all those years ago, back in the 1970s, the Indiana work ethic is you bring your lunch pail with you. You work hard. You give your best. You give 110% all the time. And he's got guys that are making millions and millions of dollars that are pretty much sitting on their butts. And I think that bugs him more than anything else. And I think there are times that Don really struggles with whether he really wants to do this or not. You know, managing in the major leagues is something, but I think he really has a distaste for managing the idiosyncrasies of some of the young stars today. You know, Puig's coming from Cuba has a whole different mindset than Mattingly does. And you look at their payroll, they're making millions and millions of dollars. But I've watched him, and, you know, in some ways, they do suck. I mean, the guy that does my baseball games with me is Indiana Baseball Hall of Famer Ray Howard, and I've learned a lot about baseball from working with Ray. And there's a way that the game needs to be played. It needs to be played hard. It needs to be played smart. And a lot of times, the Dodger teams are not making the proper cutoff moves. They're not making wise running decisions. They're honestly, and I think Don's mind, they're disrespecting the game. And I think that there are times that Mattingly would almost just as soon walk away than to put up with the crap that he has to put up with in managing a team of high-egoed superstars. So knowing Don as I do, I can kind of somewhat understand of where he's coming from. I think he came very close to walking away from the job last year before they caught fire. I think with the talent they have, if they get their heads out of their you-know-whats, they're going to be a very, very good baseball team. But the San Francisco Giants are playing very well right now, and they are basically doing it the right way. So, you know, I'm a big Don Mattingly guy. I've had the privilege of knowing him. I think he's a good guy and a good soul, and all he wants from his players is to have them play 100%, and to have them play the game the right way. And when they don't do that, yeah, he's going to say we suck.
Well, and I love that. That's why I asked you that question. Certainly, we're a national show, and we have a lot of listeners that get up very early in the morning to listen to us. So we're on very early in the morning out there on the West Coast, and we have Giant fans and Dodger fans, and I knew that was going to create a firestorm. And I appreciate you coming in to talk with us about some local Indiana boys in the MLB prospects. Where can people find your work, your masterpieces, stalk you on social media, what have you?
Well, you can find me on Facebook at Walt Ferber, on Twitter at Walt Ferber. My broadcasts can be heard all around the world on WITZAMFM.com. I'll be on the air at 12:50 today, and Sports Morning daily at 8:20, 12:15, and 4:15, all on WITZAMFM.com. And it is Tom. It is always a pleasure to join you.
You have a good day, sir, and have a good game today, sir.
Thank you.
All righty. Walt Ferber from WITZ down in Jasper, Kevin. This guy knows local prospects, let me tell you. Well, Kevin, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be back here in just a few moments. Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. And, yeah, Kevin, I am going to let you spew. All right?
I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network. My name is Saul Mark with Sal Presidente. This is The Balance. We got one more hour left. Don't go anywhere.
I'm J.B. Bernstein. I'm a sports agent.
Hey.
Who's that?
She's my neighbor. Not my type.
Why? Because she's not a model.
Yeah, stay away from that.
Right now, I'm on the verge of a huge break.
Without this deal, we're done.
What's going on here? Don't tell me you signed a contract with these guys.
It's just business.
Guess what? We're out of money. I mean, I don't know what else to do, J.B.
Hey, how fast are they pitching cricket?
I think I cracked this. It's called Million Dollar Arm. We find the first Major League Baseball player from India.
Like being on the road?
Words cannot express.
Ray, how are you going to know if anyone can throw if you keep your eyes shut all day?
I can hear it.
Really?
Ah. That was about a 43.
Bingo.
We have our finalists.
Welcome to America, boys. Okay. All right, guys.
Who is that? Is she a servant? She's a beautiful servant.
We can't train somebody who has never picked up a baseball. It's insane.
Okay, so how's it going?
Baseball is very hard.
This is Major League Baseball, not some social experiment.
You're not ready for this kind of pressure.
This is business.
It'll be a sideshow.
These guys are not ready for a pro tryout. Their chances fall between slim and none.
Are you okay?
These kids, they're my last best shot.
But they're also just a couple of great kids. Kids. I mean, they're far from home. They need to see that you care. Standing in the heart.
Wow.
This whole alternative family thing looks good on you.
Excuse this, partner.
Boom. We've got a major league tryout.
Are you messing with us?
No, I'm not messing with you. You got a tryout. All right, go ahead. Say it.
Did you kiss Miss Brenda?
No. She kissed me.
Oh!
Jimmy! Yeah.
You
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
This is Dwayne Allen with the Indianapolis Colts. You're listening to The Balance.
Here we go. New 20.
Football. Catch the fever. The sport of kings.
And now let's talk some football. My minions, welcome back to hour number two, the final hour of today's show. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. What a great show we've had so far. President of Michigan International Speedway, Roger Curtis, joining us and talking with us about the big race next week up there at Michigan International Raceway, the Quicken Loans 400. Also, Walt Ferber from WITZ and Jasper are breaking down some of these local prospects that went to the MLB. Kyle Schwarber going to the obviously the Cubs and the Colorado Rockies. But nobody better to join us now than our next guest and to launch off the second hour and talk some football. Yes, we're talking football in the off season because it is OTAs, and you know, nobody better than our good friend Ed Kratz from Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. Also joining me, my partner in crime, that redneck from Philly. And Ed, I want you to tell me, is it possible that a redneck can be from Philly?
I didn't
believe it either, but apparently it is true and it is possible. Ed, welcome to The Balance. How you doing, sir?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Tom. I appreciate that. You know, I guess it depends on your definition of redneck.
Well, wait, and you're going to get that opportunity to meet Kevin when you get here to town. He's a tall drink of water with cowboy boots and cowboy hats. I don't know any more better of a definition than a redneck than that. We do want to get into the Philadelphia Eagles in the OTA talk, but what I want to do is let you and Kevin talk a little bit about the Philadelphia Phillies and your position that you guys put yourself in with this draft. Ed, let me ask you this. I think a lot of people may agree with me on this. This was not the best draft for the Philadelphia Phillies.
Well, you know, again, I guess it depends on your point of view there. I know in years past, the Phillies' philosophy has always been to go for more of the high school type athletes, the high school senior graduating who they've identified as having a high ceiling, someone that, you know, they can develop and help them reach that ceiling that they see when they draft them. That hasn't really worked out that well for them, obviously. You know, their farm system is very thin on talent. Now, a lot of that, in fairness to the Phillies, has been they've loaded up with veteran players and trades at the trade deadline, and they've parted ways with a lot of that young talent that they've had. Look at the Houston Astros, who now have Jonathan Singleton in their lineup and Jared Kosart, the pitcher. Both those guys were shipped from the Phillies to the Astros when the Phillies acquired Hunter Pence. So, the Phillies had a window over the last few years after they won the World Series in 2008. They saw this window as being open, and, you know, they wanted to try to grab another championship, and You know, they traded away a lot of their young players. So now, you know, that coupled with the fact that this high school philosophy hasn't exactly panned out the way they wanted has left them really thin at the minor league level. So you come to this year's draft this past week, and you saw them take, I think, the first seven they had were college players, kids that are more mature, kids that may have, you know, maybe closer to that ceiling or who've already reached that ceiling perhaps, but guys who are closer to becoming major league players than a high school kid. And you know, that's what they need. They're going to have some holes. They're a very old team. And, you know, they're hoping that some of these college guys that they pick are going to mature quickly and maybe be playing in Philadelphia in a year, maybe 2 years, that quickly. So we'll see how that philosophy works. But it was certainly, a complete U-turn from the philosophy that they've had in the previous years.
Kevin, go ahead.
Well, no, and I agree with that, Warren said. You know, big names, maybe not now, our number one pick from LSU, I mean, he was the anchor of that pitching staff. I think we did well. Our philosophy of high school definitely has not worked out. Our philosophy of getting veterans worked for 1 year. And then now I wish I could figure out what happened. You were talking about the Dodgers manager saying his team sucked. Well, at least they didn't have a seance before the games. And I don't know if you're aware of that, Tom, but we had a seance, and we still got shut out. So obviously whoever did the seance needs some practice. But, they are pulling at so many straws right now in Philadelphia, trying to figure out where to go. And what Ed just says is right on the nail. We don't have that young talent that we could pull from.
No, there isn't. I was going to say there really are very few players to get excited about in the minors. You know, they have the third baseman, this kid Miguel Franco, his name is. I mean, he's a guy to keep an eye on. And then, you know, they drafted a shortstop a couple of years back, J.P. Crawford, actually I think it was last year, who they're pretty high on and who's doing well at the minor leagues. But they're really the only two players that you can identify. They have a pitcher, Ken Giles, who's in Reading right now, who throws 100 miles an hour. You know, he projects as their future closer, but you know, again, you don't have anybody to replace Chase Utley at second, Ryan Howard at first. Your outfield is very, very shabby. It's not a major league outfield. You need outfielders. So Carlos Ruiz, their catcher, he's not getting any younger. There's nobody really to replace him. So, you know, they're going to be kind of a building team here for the next few years, and the Phillies probably won't make a whole lot of noise, you know, for at least three to 5 years, I'm thinking.
And you know as well as I do, Ed, that's not going to go well in Philly.
Well, you always had a 2008 championship to fall back on, Kevin. You know, it's not that long ago. You know, there's probably some videos out there you can watch and get excited about, you know. And, you know, on a late night on a Friday, you can pop in the DVD from that championship season and break out your Jimmy Rollins jersey and, you know, get pumped all over again. But that's going to be it for a while. I hate to be a real downer, but I think that's going to be it.
Well, I tell you what, you got a good season, a good series coming up here with the Reds. Obviously, you won yesterday 8-0, and the Reds started off and have lost a lot of steam. And certainly, you look at the National League position. So, it could be worse. It could be the Cubs, right? It could be a lot worse.
There's always a winning streak.
That's right. There's always that 1900. Deal, but hey, I'll say one thing about the Cubs. I'm a diehard Cardinal fan, and I hate the Cubs with all that is in me. But I'm loving their new pick, Kyle Schwarber of Indiana University, my alumni. So you know what? I'm rooting for Kyle. I'm not rooting for the Cubs, but I think it's a good pickup from the Cubs there. Real quickly, and then we'll get into some football talk here on the Philadelphia Phillies and some off-season stuff that's going on there. But overall, and you look at the draft, Ed, both in the American League and the National League, what were your thoughts about this year's draft? Obviously, Houston picking up a pretty good first-round pick overall.
Yeah, you know, the Houston Astros, I mean, if this young talent develops, you know, they've got a lot of good young players on that team. And, I think they're a team that, you know, in the next year or two, really, again, if they develop this talent properly and they bring it along the way they're supposed to, then I think they're going to be, you know, a team that's going to be reckoned with. And, you know, they said this was one of the deepest drafts in recent memory, I think, right, with the baseball draft. And, mm-hmm. I think there were a lot of good players that were picked. And, you know, we always get hung up on these first-round picks, but, you know, the Major League Baseball draft is, you know, 50-plus rounds for a reason. I mean, you can unearth, you know, diamonds in the rough all the way through this draft. And, you know, I think, you know, we do get hung up on those first-rounders, but you really have to look at the depth of the draft of each team. And, you know, I think the Houston Astros are probably doing pretty well. And, you know, I think the Cubs, too. I mean, they, you know, they may have gotten, a couple good players in this draft. And yeah, at least you hope. You know, I like to see some of these downtrodden teams kind of turn it around and, you know, start winning after being down so long. So, you know, I know you're a Cardinals fan and you don't want to see the Cubs get too good, too fast. But, you know, I'd like to see the Cubs turn it around and, you know, contend for a pennant one of these years. And same with the Astros. You know, I like these teams that are, you know, you get picked on and beat up every year. I like to see them kind of rise up every now and then from the ashes. So I'm hoping that that's what happens with, you know, with this draft.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the OTAs with the Philadelphia Eagles. We're talking with Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, spent a lot of time with the Eagles. This could be a very good season for you, although we've been saying that for the last few years. So I'm hoping that maybe Coach Kelly's got something together. You guys, we got picked up a pretty good Stanford grad a few years back, going into his third season, a little-known quarterback. What's his name? Andrew Luck. But, hey, you guys got someone from Stanford, too. So apparently Stanford's been able to do, produce some pretty good ball players. So you got your rookie, your second-round pick from Stanford. Talk with us a little bit about Ertz in the OTAs and just summarize the Philadelphia Eagles in their training to be able to get ready for the 2014-2015 season.
Zach Ertz came in the second round last year, tight end. He was their second round pick, and you know, they picked another kid out of Stanford this year in this year's draft. And in the fifth round, they took a safety named Ed Reynolds, who, you know, any Stanford fan or college football fan would probably be familiar with him. He had six interceptions in his junior year. His sophomore year. He came out early. His junior year, he only had one interception, but he says that they didn't throw to his side that much, and they kind of schemed away from him, and he didn't get as many opportunities to intercept the ball. So we'll see how Ed Reynolds does. The thing about these Stanford kids is they typically start kind of behind the eight ball, if you will, because they're not allowed to participate in these OTAs the teams have in May and June, basically because of the way the NCAA rule is written. Until a class graduates from your school, you cannot participate in an OTA. And Stanford's class, I think they're on the trimester system, or they graduate in the middle of June. So, players typically end up missing, Stanford players end up missing these OTAs. So they're kind of behind the eight ball a little bit when they come in to the summer training camps, which usually open up at the end of July for every team. So that's what happened with Zach Ertz last year. I think if you think back to last year, Ertz really kind of was, I don't want to say a non-factor, but he wasn't on the field very much in the first, you know, 4 to 5 games. You know, he got in a little bit, but as the season went on, he really began to develop into someone that they put out in pass patterns, someone they put in motion. You see that the playbook was opening up a little bit more for him, and that's because it took him all the time to get acclimated. And, you know, Zach Ertz, I think, is going to have he's one of my players that I think is going to have a terrific year for the Eagles this year, basically because, number one, he's had a year in the system now. Number two, he's gotten a lot bigger. He's really taken to this weight program and this off-season program that Chip Kelly and his staff have put together. You've seen that with a few players who have really bulked up. Lane Johnson, or right, calculated about 305 last year, 300 by the time the season ended. He's at about 315, 318 now. Benny Logan, their nose tackle, who was picked from LSU last year, he played at about 305 last year. He's up to about 315, and these guys look huge. And Zach Ertz is another one. I mean, he looks like he's really – someone took an air pump to his arms and just shot it into his arms because he really looks bulked up. He's had that second year in the system. And then thirdly with him, DeSean Jackson's gone. So the Eagles are going to need to find somebody to open up the field. And I think Ertz, if you line him up in different positions and put him in motion, he can present matchup problems for a defense. And I think you're going to see him have a big year for the Eagles.
We're talking with Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, and our redneck from Philly, Mr. Kevin Chapman. Kevin, thoughts for Ed on the Philadelphia Eagles in their OTAs?
Well, and that was one thing that I'm glad he brought it up, that with Philadelphia, and it's not just Philly, obviously, but with the OTAs and the NCAA ruling and all that, I think we have in Philly a really good tight end core with Selleck and Ertz and everything I've heard, and obviously, Ed, you're up there closer than I am, unfortunately. Everybody is talking about how our offense, including our quarterback, is light years ahead compared to last year as far as speed of their operating on, performance. And I'll tell you right now, not just because I'm a Philly fan, if Philadelphia truly is ahead of where they were last year and with some of the pickups we got on offense and defense, I hate to say it, but there's not much hope for the rest of the conference in the NFC as far as Washington, Dallas, and New York.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You know, certainly the Eagles, I would say, are the front runner to win the NFC East. But, you know, the Redskins have an RG3 now, the quarterback, Robert Griffin, who's 1 year removed from the ACL injury. You can see last year that he just wasn't, you know, himself, what he showed as a rookie. So I expect him to have a bounce-back year. You know, they obviously got DeSean Jackson. Brian Arakpo, their linebacker, seems like he could be on a mission to prove he's one of the better pass rushers in the league if he can stay healthy. You know, their offensive line, obviously, is a bit of a sore spot. But, you know, the Redskins could have the type of year that no one expects. You know, I think they won 3 games last year. I mean, I don't see that from the Redskins again. And the Giants, they went out and loaded up on a ton of free agents. You know, they need to find another weapon for Eli Manning. They have a tight end now that hopefully, you know, Eli won't be throwing 29 interceptions or whatever he had last year, which was ridiculous. So I think the Giants could be better. The Cowboys, on the other hand, I think might take a little bit of a backward turn if you can count the last 3 years being, you know, they were 8-8. You know, I guess they can go backward from that. I don't see them going 9-7 or 10-6. I mean, they lost a lot of parts from that defense. Unfortunately, Sean Lee, the great linebacker from Penn State, blew out his knee again. I hate to see that. He's a great kid and a great player. But, you know, he's not with them now. DeMarcus Ware obviously bolted for Denver. Jason Hatchin's gone. And the defense wasn't anything to write home about last year. And I don't think it's gotten any better this year. So I can see the Cowboys maybe struggling in that division. But the Redskins and Giants can certainly challenge the Eagles in the NFC East.
Now, see, now, I want to ask your opinion on the DeSean Jackson thing. Personally, as a Philly fan, I'm not all that upset, and I guess I should be. From what everybody tells me, I should be, like, really upset that we got rid of him. Yeah, we lost a lot of speed, but I don't know. I think our wide receiving core is strong enough that we'll step back a little bit. You have to when you lose a player like that, but I don't see it as a huge step back for us.
Yeah, you know, I'm in that locker room, you know, all the time and, you know, for the last few years, and I've seen DeSean Jackson, and a lot of times I haven't seen DeSean Jackson. He never really interacted well with his teammates, or at least in front of the media. When he would come into the locker room, he'd be on his phone. You know, it always seemed like he had other interests other than interacting with his teammates. So, you know, I don't have any reason to be upset either. I think, you know, by cutting him, every player in that locker room knows now what the expectation is, and that is to be here at OTAs, even though they're voluntary. Every single Eagles player showed up, except, for Stanford's Ed Reynolds, who wasn't allowed to. But every player was there. Last year, Kerry Williams, or D-back, kind of blew off the OTAs after they signed in. He was building a home. He's talking about buying sconces with his wife and, you know, attending his daughter's recital, which is fine, but he was at very few of these OTAs. I talked to him the other day. He's like, you know, hey, this is one relationships are formed and the camaraderie is built. And, you know, these are things he wasn't saying last year. So I think by cutting Jackson, too, it's kind of sent that message to these players that if you're not buying in, see you later. We don't care who you are. You're gone. You know, and then the transition on the field, I think, you know, you have Darren Sproles, who in these OTAs has looked terrific. I mean, he was 31, but, man, he moves like he's 21. He's still as fast. Of course, they're not in pads. You know, they just have helmets and shorts. It'll be interesting when the pads come on. But and that guy just glides. Like watching, I've never really had a chance to watch him before when he was in New Orleans and San Diego. But it's going to really make a difference in that backfield. You have Jordan Matthews, the rookie draft pick from Vanderbilt. They took him the second round. He was lining up in the slot, and he's an almost 6'4" receiver. You know, the slot is usually a spot reserved for kind of a smaller receiver and you can match up with a safety that might drop into the box or a linebacker even, I'm not sure what defenses are going to do to match up with him. But if you run him in the slot, you have Darren Sproles running wild in the backfield. I mean, I think this offense can be just as prolific as it was last year without DeSean Jackson.
And we're talking with Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles from Calkins Media. Ed, it is always a pleasure to have you on board here. You mentioned the safety position, and I wonder, Nate Allen or Earl Woolough in that position, Coach Kelly obviously has a defensive mind, and the safety position is a key point in that. So when you name your starter, that's somebody that you have got 100% confidence in that's going to execute the plan that you have in place. So first of all, Coach Kelly, defensive plan in the safety position. That's a hole that you guys have needed to fill for a while. One of those two guys, Nate Allen or Woolough, I'm sorry, is going to get that position. One, who's it going to be and why?
Yeah, that's a great question, Tom, because I'm writing about that safety position for Sunday's story. Obviously, Malcolm Jenkins, the guy they signed from the Saints, is going to start at one spot. And like you said, the other spot is between Nate Allen and Earl Wolf, who Earl Wolf is in his second year now. They drafted him in the fifth round out of North Carolina State last year. Allen is running with the first team right now. But, again, it's very, very early here in the season. But Nate Allen, he was picked in the second round back in 2010 and never really developed into the type of player that you'd expect him to be being picked that high. You know, 37th player taken overall. But the thing about Nate Allen is he has never been in the same system. He would leave, and then the system, they'd bring in a new D coordinator. There was so much upheaval under Andy Reid during that time where they had Sean McDermott 1 year as the defensive coordinator, then with Juan Castillo and then Todd Bowles. And he never had the benefit of having the same coach, the same system 2 years in a row. This year, they signed him to a one-year contract. He was a free agent. Nobody evidently wanted him because he was still out there late in the free agency, so the Eagles signed him to a one-year deal in hopes that he can play as consistently as he did last year. And now that he's in his second year in the system for the first time ever, you know, he's in Billy Davis's defensive system. They're transitioning to the hybrid 3-4. They're hoping that now maybe he can take that next step and become the player they had hoped he would be when they took him 5 years ago. Whether he can be that now, he's older, obviously. He's not the same age as he was 5 years ago. That could be a factor. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Wolf is able to kind of, if he can unseat him. Because Earl Wolf is, he's gained about 5 pounds. He's up to about 210 now. He looks terrific. He was kind of sabotaged a little bit last year when he injured his knee. He had a hyperextended knee that caused him to miss the last 6 games of the season. And he was really kind of stepping into his own when he got hurt. So it'll be interesting to see the challenge that he puts up. But right now, Nate Allen is that guy. But Earl Wolf, I talked to him, and he says, you know, I want to be one of the best safeties in the league, and I'm not mad that I'm not number one on the depth chart. Nate deserves it, but may the best man win. You know, that's his attitude, and that's the right attitude to have. I know the Eagles like Earl Wolf, and I know they like Nate Allen, or they wouldn't have brought him back. So that's going to be an interesting thing. I think if nothing else, if Nate Allen wins it, you have a pretty good player sitting there at number two that if Allen stumbles or isn't giving you the consistency you want, then you try Earl Wolf. You know, that's the depth that they may have at that spot this year, because I think Malcolm Jenkins will be just fine at the other safety. He's a very vocal, outspoken guy. He's very his football IQ, they talk about it all the time, is off the charts. He's good at getting players lined up. And that was one of the knocks on Nate Allen was he wasn't really vocal back there. You couldn't hear him make the call that needed to be made, and the defense kind of got out of position a little bit. Malcolm Jenkins is, you know, you can hear him barking out from that back line. And, you know, as a safety, you're the last line of defense. You can see what's in front of you. Everything's in front of you. You have to be able to read it, and you have to be able to dissect it and then relay that to your teammates. And I think that's what Jenkins will do very well for him.
Well, Kevin, you're the redneck from Philly. We're going to give you the last question. I tell you, Ed, we are really looking forward. We were just talking about this yesterday, about you being here around September 15th from, of course, Monday Night Football. But we are going to go out on the town here in Indianapolis, and we're going to have a good time. So we're looking forward to you being here. But, Kevin, we're going to give you the last question to Ed Kratz, the man with the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, not with the Philadelphia Eagles. go ahead.
Close enough.
I mean, Kevin.
Yeah. He's close enough. He's in the locker room. Now, I can tell you right now, I was excited last year with our system when especially when Foles came in. I don't miss Vic. I'm kind of glad. You know, what do you think though, as far as Sanchez coming in? Everything I've heard, everything I've watched, they say he is really stepped up, and I know it's only OTAs and it's not game time and all that, but they're saying that the Sanchez that has been in the OTAs for Philadelphia is a much different Sanchez that played for the Jets.
Well, I think he's been humbled a little bit. You know, he came into the league as a fifth pick overall, and you know, it took the Jets the two straight AFC title games, couldn't quite get him over the hump and into the Super Bowl, but you know, now, you know, some time has passed, some things have happened, and sort of wore out his welcome in New York. So, I think a humbling experience could be good for a player at times, and, you know, certainly Sanchez is going through that. So, you know, I think he's kind of refocused and rededicated himself to showing that, hey, you know, I'm a good player too. And right now he's running, you know, all with the second team at OTAs, and Matt Barkley is with the third team. It's kind of interesting. They both played at USC at different times, but they're both from USC. But Barkley's on the third team. He's really not happy about it. I've talked to him. He seems to get a little grumpy when you mention that, and a little bit, you know, a little testy. But, you know, right now Sanchez is the second team. And I'll tell you, the thing that the Eagles like about Sanchez, and, you know, I've talked to some people about this, is they love his intelligence. They love how quickly he has picked up the offense. You know, they say that he's there all the time and he's always studying and he's got his head in the playbook all the time. So maybe that's part of the rededication and the refocus that he's going through personally after being humbled in New York. But they really like the way he's handled this offense. And I tell you what, you know, Nick Foles is the starter, absolutely hands down, and after a terrific season. You know, he's going to be under the gun kind of to produce again and win games. And, you know, Chip Kelly, again, with the patience thing, if Nick Foles isn't, you know, doing what he needs to be doing, and the Eagles are sitting there, you know, 3-5 or 2-4 after the first 6 weeks of the season, you never know. I mean, you could see maybe Sanchez getting a look to sort of right the ship. So I know they're really high on him. He seems like he is a little bit more refocused and rededicated after being in New York. And, you know, we'll just see how it all plays out as the summer goes along.
All right, Ed, I mean, I'm still trying to get my voice back from the Indianapolis 500. You would have thought that I would have had it done by now. Hey, you know what? We were just talking earlier about Joey Logano. He was up at the Detroit Lions practice field, of course, that NASCAR driver. But how big these guys are, and you heard my tag, Dwayne Allen. I had a chance to meet him out there on the red carpet at the Indianapolis 500. Big, big, big guys. So I'm going to tell you what, I love your job. I would love to be there talking to these guys. Just, you know, not that I have man crushes on other guys, but these guys are beasts. So let's clear this up. I'm not saying that Dwayne Allen is like this sexy beast, but I shook his hand, I talked to him, and he towers over me, Ed. I'm not kidding you. I think I had to use two hands to squeeze, and he's still like, are you going to shake my hand or what? I mean, so.
Yeah, but, you're right. These guys are big. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, you're right. I mean, I was just saying, you're absolutely right. I mean, you look at these guys, and it's almost, you know, it's artificial, obviously. You know, these guys lift weights every day, and you know, they're working to get bigger and stronger and faster. And, you know, clearly when they're done, they need to kind of back off a little bit and get back to more civilian weight.
Jeez. Well, I tell you what, I bench 500 pounds. I don't think that's quite enough. We need to get that a little bit more. Ed Kratz, we appreciate you coming on again. I'm looking forward to you being here in September to cover the Eagles and the Indianapolis Colts as well. Any final thoughts? Where can people find your work, your masterpieces, stalk you on social media? Get restraining orders. Where can they find you?
Well, my Twitter handle is KRACZE at Kratz E, and then the website where you can find any Eagle stuff if you're inclined is www.intel2l.com, and you can /Eagles, and you know, you'll find everything there. There's videos. I shoot videos of these guys, and, you know, in addition to write stories. So I kind of do it all right now. But thanks a lot for the time. Appreciate it. Looking forward to getting out there myself.
Oh, absolutely. All right, Ed, you have yourself a good and safe weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yep, you guys do the same. See ya.
All righty. Ed Kratz, a Philadelphia beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, joining us. I tell you what, guys, we got 30 minutes left. I hope my voice has 30 minutes left. Kevin, I may have to turn it over to you. I have been battling this all week long, but I've made it for the 90 minutes. We got 30 minutes left right here on the Balance Radio Network. Kevin, you and I together for the last half hour, so who knows what's going to happen. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Think I could tell you that first sentence, but then I'm lost. I can't begin to count the theories I've had pounded in my head that I forgot.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full-service kitchen with a delicious, delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Welcome back to The Balance. You know, Kevin joining us also is Redneck from Philly. Redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. You know, that was our old theme song. You remember that back in the day?
Yes.
We went old school on it. Went old school on us. That was our theme song when we first started out. You know, a little history of the show. Kevin was actually my first co-host. We first started this show when we founded the show several years ago as a podcast. And, you know, Kevin went on to be a great aspiring chef, and now he's back. So he's still aspiring to be
still
a chef.
Great aspiring chef.
Hey, at least you got aspirations. I'm right there with you. We'll have to have you cater the official Balance summer cookout or something this summer. We'll see how that works out. Well, I am really struggling here with my voice, guys. So I tell you what, though, the vintage cars out of Indianapolis Motor Speedway. This has been kind of cool, and I don't know if you guys have checked this out, but go to Indianapolis Motor Speedway this weekend, and you're going to see some of the best vintage cars. And you know what, though? There's some Indy 500 veterans that are there. Just really some cool old cars that are out there on the track. And have you had a chance to check out the vintage cars there, Kevin?
Yeah, I have, and I'll tell you what, IMS, I don't know. it seems like every year they're doing something to step up. I've got to give IMS some credit with bringing in the Grand Prix and then everything they're doing. They're starting to get back up into get that name IMS back, if you know what I mean.
Well, absolutely. And you know, of course, we know IMS for the Indianapolis 500, obviously. And then coming up here on at the end of July here, I believe the dates of the of end of July is the Brickyard 400, which I like what Crown Royal does. And they award every year. They award a name your hero person for the naming rights of the particular Brickyard. And they've been doing this for a few years. And this year, the Crown Royal Awards, U.S. Army Sergeant, former Green Beret, First Class John Wayne Walding, the naming rights. So through the Name Your Heroes program. And what a cool thing. Green Beret John Wayne Walding attends his first NASCAR race at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in July. He'll see a familiar name plastered around the historic track. Walding was announced the winner of Crown Royal's annual Name Your Heroes, Name Here program, which awards naming rights to NASCAR Sprint Cup Series at IMS to a deserving American hero. And they did that during the CMT Awards, and I know the redneck from Philly obviously watched the CMT Awards.
The only award show out there, right?
Give you a little bit of a background, and what a great story this is. Green Beret, I tell you what, those guys are badass. You know, I was in the Army, you were in the Navy, but there's the military, and then there's the next level. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to even be in Special Forces units, but they take that to a next level. And Green Beret guys are the real deal, and they're the ones out there on the front lines. And they are the ones that, you know, are them and the so-called Delta Force, we'll say, that doesn't exist but exists, that doesn't exist but exists.
Exactly.
Those guys are badass. And, you know, he's from Little Elm, Texas. He's a very highly decorated Army veteran, served 12 years completing tours in Afghanistan and Iraq. While overseas in 2008, he was involved in a firefight during a mission to capture a high-value target, during which he lost a lower part of his right leg. After recovering from the injury, Walding was the first amputee to graduate the Special Forces Sniper School, and he completed the Army 10-miler on foot, and in 2009, the Boston Marathon, utilizing a hand signal within a year of the accident. I'm so sorry. Among Walding, many awards and badges include the Silver Star, the Bronze Badge, the Purple Heart, Combat Infantry Badge, and that's just to name a few, Kevin. Walding was nominated for the program by his brother, who lives in Little Elm, with his wife and Amy and their four children. He is the founder of Five Toes Custom, which employs wounded veterans in an effort to provide support and direction in their lives. The fact that Crown Royal cares enough to say thank you for what they have done is a true validation of my sacrifice, said Walding, following the unveiling of the event. The magnitude of those two words goes above and beyond. And I tell you what, when you look at a guy like this Green Beret, John Wayne Walding, it doesn't go to a better guy than that.
No, I agree, and you're right. You know, it's humbling for anybody that's ever been a veteran for any sport to recognize, but to name a race after the person and have that person there, and that just hats are off to Crown Royal for doing that, and the IMS being part of that for the Brickyard. And you're right. Looking at him and what he's done, you couldn't have picked a better guy to have this race after.
And absolutely. And these guys are not looking for a gratitude, and they're not looking for the attention. And I'll tell you what, you know, we just celebrated I don't like to use the word celebration, but we certainly just remembered yesterday, D-Day. Certainly, there's a whole generation out there, and I know we're going to get back on sports, and we have kind of digressed a little bit, but it does all tie in because we are talking about NASCAR. We are talking about the Brickyard 400 out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a whole generation of people, of kids out there who don't know and understand the importance of D-Day, and a lot of them don't even understand what the Green Beret is and what it is that they do. So hats off to Crown Royal for taking an opportunity to recognize the heroes and what a better place to do it than the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the Brickyard 400 this year.
I agree, and I think we'll see more of that. But people that do that in the military in general. Well, I don't know. The military now is different than the military where we were in. The military we were in, I can say that no one did it for recognition. No one did it for status. It was you did it because that's what you thought was right.
Right. And the love for your country, and I think that's something that we need to get back in our country. But we need to get back on sports. Obviously, the Brickyard 400 coming up on Sunday, July 27th. The big nationwide race also out at the IMS, and Kevin and you and I will be out there having a great time, and certainly hopefully get an opportunity to meet John Wayne Walding. And you know what an honor that would be if we could get him on the show here. But we'll work on that on our end. But let's go back to our conversation, and then we're going to get into our iPod shuffle, but let's go back to our conversation with Pocono. We started the conversation in the history and the tradition that Pocono has. Obviously, IndyCar has regained their race series there at Pocono as well, but Pocono has a rich history. I can't even talk today. Literally, I cannot talk today. But has a rich history in auto racing. Pocono, what a great track that is. Talk with us a little bit about Pocono.
Well, Pocono up in that area, like we were saying earlier, it's the one unique non-road race, I guess is how I want to word it, for NASCAR. You have your road races, then you have your oval tracks. And then there's Pocono. Which, as you said earlier, I don't really know how to describe it. It's not a triangle. It's, I don't know. It's just the closest thing I guess you would call it would be a triangle, even though it's not a true triangle. but it's one of those tracks that in that area of Pennsylvania, Pocono, when they go there, I guess I would relate it to the Indy 500 here in Indianapolis. For Pocono, the NASCAR race up there, everybody's there. It's the highlight of the town, and it always has been. And I'm glad open wheel, I know you heard me say it, I'm glad the open wheel's there again because racing in Pocono for Pennsylvania is like racing in the IMS for Indiana/Indianapolis.
You know, Kevin, I'm looking at this Pocono track shape. It looks like a coat hanger. That's the best way I could. That's the best way I could describe it. It looks like a coat hanger, a clothes hanger, whatever you could. You know, the things you hang your clothes up in your closet.
Yeah, there you go.
Guys like us don't hang our clothes up. So, I hear people do actually hang their clothes up, but that's kind of what it looks like. All right, you're right, Kevin. It is that time. It is that time, and we will go deep into the archives to find the most wild, bizarre stories that we could possibly come up with between Kevin and I. And certainly if you want to talk, you got a wild sports story out there, let us know. 917-889-8516. It's time for the iPod Shuffle.
Shine, she must be a little thing. She
right, it's time for the iPod Shuffle. Kevin, you know what? We have fun doing this. So I'm going to tell you what, it should be sports stories. But you know what? When doing the very in-depth show prep that I do for my show and preparing for all of our great interviews and all of our great conversations, you know, I there's nothing more fun than preparing for the iPod Shuffle, because for all intents and purposes, we go into the world of whack. I mean, really. I mean, that's why we shuffle up the stories. It doesn't necessarily have to be crazy stories. It's just, you know, stories that you don't know what we're going to talk about. So I came across this story. It's kind of crazy. Spanish zoo vet accidentally shoots keeper in gorilla escape drill. The fact that you got to have a drill to practice a gorilla escaping. Apparently, there was a zookeeper that was shot. Sure exactly how this happened, but shot with a tranquilizer dart. You know what I think about when I read this story? What was the movie? Was it Old School? I think it was Old School, where he started a fraternity. The guy got divorced or whatever, and it was, wasn't it Will Ferrell that was in it? Was it Will Ferrell? I can't remember who it was.
Old School.
Yeah. And he shoots himself and goes, whoa, what is this thing? And, whoa. So zoo workers ran a drill simulating an escape of a gorilla on Monday at the Loro Park Zoo, a popular holiday destination in Spain's Canary Islands off the coast of Africa. One of the animal keepers of testorial mammals was accidentally hit by a tranquilizer dart, which vets have to have ready in such cases. Emergency medical services treated the keeper and sent him to the university hospital and discharged him later, and he has completely recovered, although he does have a hangover right here. I don't know where you go with that. I mean, how do you get shot? I don't know. Maybe I'm in this old world of whack myself, but, you know, I don't know.
I don't know how you – first off, I'm still worried about why they're having all these drills. I mean, how much of a concern is this that this gorilla is going to be loose?
I have no idea. I have no idea. All right, we got to move on. And this is a story everybody knows about. Let's talk about LeBron James and his leg cramps at the San Antonio Spurs game. Of course, the Spurs won that game, and LeBron James, and of course, social media has went with it. LeBron James and his leg cramps. Oh, you poor, poor baby. You live in Miami, and you can't handle the heat. And you, oh, that's right. He's from Ohio. He's from Cleveland, Ohio. But crazy. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not surprised. You know, LeBron is one of those where if his game's not going well, he's not getting his way, something's got to be wrong. He just can't have an off night. So he was having an off night. They were losing, which thank God they did, and I hope San Antonio, and I think they will take the series. I think it might go seven, but I say San Antonio gets the championship this year. I just think it's funny that he had the cramps. And I love, like you said, social media is going insane with it. There's one photo of Family Guy being carried off the court with a leg cramp, mocking LeBron. He, for lack of better terms, he deserves this. When you have your own app on a cell phone, you deserve the mocking.
Oh,
like
my God.
Right now.
Unbelievable. So, you know, that had to get thrown into the iPod shuffle. We got to move through these, though, because, you know, we've only got, you know, a few minutes left on the clock. You know, actually 8 minutes left on the clock. So we're wrapping it up. Now, I had to throw this in here for your sake. The Philadelphia 76ers. Now, I don't know why I think that this is funny, because Philadelphia is in Pennsylvania. Philadelphia has its own city. It's a relatively large city. But they plan to build a practice facility in none other than New Jersey. So I'm curious as to why they would do that. I mean, the Philadelphia 76ers, I understand. They, the best I could figure out after this season, they were ran out of town, Kevin.
Well, they should be after the season. But the only thing I'd say is maybe they're thinking less traffic in New Jersey. I don't know. Why they built it there, because you're right. Philadelphia's got enough room to build. I'm still baffled by that. You've got towns outside of Philly that are close enough to build it in that we didn't need to go to New Jersey, which is the armpit of Pennsylvania. We didn't need to go there. This season, in general, Philadelphia's been whack for all sports. The only team I see that has any common sense right now is the Eagles, but, I mean, you've got seances going over for the baseball game. I'm a diehard Philly fan, obviously, and I'm just scared right now. I mean, when we're 7 games back, we're having seances, I don't know. So I guess the lack of that term, absolutely nothing surprises me with any of the teams right now.
You know, and this is not necessarily a sports story, although, you know, we do see these athletes as they come off the buses and they show the pre-games and the pre-stuff of them always wearing their headbuds. Well, a Taiwan company makes porn earbuds for $40. I'm not kidding you. This is a true story. For $40, porn lovers can have their porn watching experience enriched with a set of porn earbuds made by a Taiwanese firm, and no kinky position required. I'm wondering now, is that what these NBA stars and stuff are? You know, they look at you and they smile. They ain't smiling at the camera. They're smiling at their porn buds.
I was going to say, now we really know what they are truly listening to. That's why DeSean Jackson always had earbuds in.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, one more story here, and then we got to kind of wrap things up here because we got about 5 minutes left on the clock. Now, here's an interesting story again, not necessarily sports, just kind of something we threw in the shuffle here. A puppy drives into a Massachusetts pond. A 3-month-old German Shepherd puppy is being blamed for driving a family car into the pond. Here we go. The dog did it. I had nothing to do with it. The dog's owner, John Costello, said he took the dog for a walk around a Bolivar pond in Canton on Sunday when he got into the car and started in preparation for the ride home. That's when the puppy jumped in with him. The dog just jumped in the car and hit the gear shift, and here we are in the pond. Officer, blame it on the dog, officer. Was not me. I had nothing to do with it. And the car went for a swim, and the dog did, and apparently he did too. And I'm just saying that's the story that's being told to local television station WFXTV. And so there you go. The dog did it. Puppy takes ride in the pond.
So how much alcohol is involved?
I don't know. Maybe it doesn't say there was any charges, so we'll assume that there wasn't. And Kevin, I saw this story about you. A man strips naked outside the White House. U.S. Secret Service personnel sprang into action on Friday outside the White House when a man stripped naked and it appeared to be in a bizarre form of protest. Dude, I didn't know you were actually going to do that, man.
Well, I paid the press not to report it, so I'm a little upset right now that it's actually made it out there. I paid people off.
It's out there, man. And on one of the hottest days in years so far in the U.S. Capitol, temperatures hit at least 26 degrees Celsius, that's 78 degrees Fahrenheit. A man ambled up to Secret Service at the gate of the White House and then took off his clothes. This happened shortly before President Barack Obama was due to give his speech at the White House announcing his new pick as a housing secretary. The man named by the Secret Service as Michael Picard refused to be subdued and was duly arrested. Spokesperson said, I would suggest that you don't take your clothes off in front of the White House. I'm just saying that's probably not what you need to do.
No.
That's for sure. All right, guys.
I don't want to be the Secret Service agent wrestling them, though.
I don't know. That, you know, that to me, I don't know. Let's just hope he washed his hands afterwards. What's that funny smell? I don't know. Guys, this has been the iPod Shuffle. iPod Shuffle, you know, we always got to start the iPod Shuffle. Come on, Feel the Noise with Quiet Riot. You know, a lot of people, you talk about a generation that don't remember music, Kevin. There's a band that people don't remember. And, you know, a popular spot here in Indianapolis by the name of 8 Seconds is having the old band, I saw Iron Maiden coming back. So there's a blast from the past for you, Iron Maiden. So do you remember Quiet Riot, Iron Maiden, all those hair bands?
Oh, yeah. Hey,
oh,
I hadn't heard Bam look before I went to boot camp.
There you go. Well, hey guys, we're down 1 minute on the clock. Joining us now is Mr. Kevin Chapman, redneck from Philly. He's joined us for the last 2 hours. We want to thank our guest, Roger Curtis, president of the Michigan International Speedway, Walt Ferber of WITC down in Jasper, talking about the MLB. Of course, a good friend from Calkins Media, Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. It's been real. It's been a lot of fun. All right, Kevin, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to give you talk about whatever you want. What say you, sir?
All righty. Well, you know what? I'm going to carry on the redneck tradition from Philly tonight. So anybody that might go out to that Tim McGraw conference, it's easy to spot me. I'll be the only guy who has a Philadelphia Eagles jersey, cowboy hat, and cowboy boots.
There we go.
So
Tim McGraw.
Come on out.
Come on out to the Tim McGraw concert. And I'm going to stay at home this weekend and try to recover from my voice. Kevin, we appreciate you joining us. We'll talk with you again next week, sir.
Yes, sir.
All righty. Kevin Chapman, redneck from Philly, joining us and being my co-pilot for the last 2 hours. I appreciate that. I appreciate you, my minions, for hanging out with me. Remember, don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. And catch our encore presentation on Indiana Talks between the hours of 1 and 3 p.m. Eastern. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. I'm out of here. We'll see you on Thursday for the Hot Corner between 7 and 8. We'll see you.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.